why there is a need for a government which will be established by the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
In one of the letters that he writes to Sheikh Mufid, he tells us one of the ways that we can end the ghibah.
Let us see how one can prepare for the advent of the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, Sahib al-Zaman.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Please stay tuned. The 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, is the one who brings hope to all of humanity. As the world is being grinded between the oppressors and tyrants of the age, we look towards the heavens so that the advent of the 12th divinely appointed Imam comes sooner. We raise our hands in prayers and we raise our hands in supplications so that the awaited Savior of humanity comes and brings the final hope and salvation that humanity is so yearning for and desiring. The sights and the eyes of the world are looking towards the advent of this great Savior, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance so that his eminence comes to establish the divine rule of the Almighty Allah for every single human being is completely dependent and needs this divine rule of the Almighty Allah. And it is this divine rule of the Almighty Allah, the kingdom of God that is to be established by Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, which will bring about ultimate justice in a world which is filled with cruelty and injustice. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. So, dear friends, we are going through the dialogues of Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And case in point, we are going through a dialogue that His Eminence has with Sheikh al-Mufid, this very great and esteemed and highly respected scholar. Now, we get to a point where Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, says that we, the Ahlul Bayt, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we are concerned about you, and we do not forget you, and if this attention and favor had not been there, poverty and tension would have befallen you, and your enemies would have destroyed you. Now, here, you know, when Imam al-Mahdi talks about we, he's talking about, of course, the Almighty Allah, he's talking about himself, you know, and he is talking about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam in general, right? So sometimes for the singular, we, the plural is used, and there are certain, you know, Arabic eloquence points that are here. And this is usually how, even in the Holy Quran, when the Almighty Allah wants to refer to himself in the singular, he actually refers to himself in the plural. This is one of those things in Arabic which is quite common in the culture of the Arabic language. But here, likewise, when he's talking about you, he's not just specifically talking about Sheikh Mufid. He's actually talking about you as in you and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you as in the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So this includes Sheikh Mufid, but it also includes the rest of the Shia, and it is not time limited or time constrained. So, you know, His Eminence Imam al-Mahdi does not say, you know, you in this time, the Shia in this time. And so because that constraint or that limitation is not there, you know, consequently it is understood that this is without the constraint or the limitation of time. And so here what we find is that Imam al-Mahdi says, we are concerned about you, the Shia, at all times, even in the present day, perhaps especially in the present day, where things are so chaotic and out of order and disorganized, and it seems like we're at the end of everything, right? Imam al-Mahdi says that he is concerned about us, he does not forget us, and that how do we know most especially that he is concerned about us and that he is thinking about us and he is working for our betterment in one way or the other, directly or indirectly, whether we know it or we don't know it, is because if that help was not there, if that concern was not there, if he had forgotten about us, if he didn't pay attention to us, then poverty and tension and trial and tribulation would have befallen us one after the other, and of course our enemies would have destroyed us by now. Of course, we see that since the beginning of time, there's this fight between good and evil. And especially in the present day, we see that if evil had the chance, it would completely wipe out good forever. And it is only Imam al-Mahdi and his true sincere followers which are keeping the party of God and the party of truth alive. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. Now we invite you to listen to Brother Khalil Ja'far.
We are talking about what are the reasons for which people would reject the Imam, and hopefully through that we would understand the opposite, which is the reasons for which we might accept him. One of the reasons would be that initially when the Imam makes his appearance and announces his coming back, people will come towards him seeking relief without realizing that this relief will not be immediate. There are sacrifices to be made. And there is suffering that must be experienced, and there is suffering involved before that peace and tranquility is established. In other words, the Imam doesn't come and then just, as I said yesterday, just wave a magic wand and everything is fine. The Imam comes to lead people, but the people must fight and struggle and strive and sacrifice to establish that with his guidance. If we try and draw a parallel of this to the previous Muslims in the early days of Islam, a very good example would be the Battle of Uhud. When you study the Battle of Uhud, you will see that prior to that, when the Muslims were suffering intensely, they were constantly praying to Allah for relief. And they were saying, why doesn't Allah give us permission to fight against the enemy? For 12 years, the Messenger of Allah preached in Mecca, and the Muslims were persecuted. And they kept praying to Allah, oh Allah, give us permission to fight back, give us permission to defend ourselves, give us permission to fight in your way and achieve martyrdom. And they were not given this permission. When they were finally given that permission, very much after the first battle of Badr, in the battle of Uhud, most of them ran away. Which showed that what you say with the tongue is not necessarily what comes from the heart. And Allah in fact mentions this precise idea in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 143, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ. It was you who used to yearn and long for death, so now surely you have seen it with your eyes.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.